2, 3, 4. We've been looking at the book of Romans. Today is Romans chapter 12, 12 verse 9 through 21. Next week we'll be in Romans 11. We will skip verse 1. Today verses 3 to 8. Last week was 9 to 11, 21. But we will skip 1 through 2. And then next week we'll be looking at Romans 11. Let's pray before we read the scripture. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible that we have in our hands, sometimes in our cell phones and computers, and handheld devices. It's very easy for us to read and come to you and to understand your word, but many times we are struggling with your words because we are living in a world that so many things are against your teachings and your words. So Lord, we are here one more time this day, your day, Lord's day. We want to open your holy scriptures. We want to jump into your holy scriptures and to understand your words. Lord, would you please bless us? Thank you for revealing yourself from these words and help us to find you. And help us enjoy your teachings from the Bible. As we are going to look at this text, would you please bless me as your servant presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to your people and to me. And through our service, we want to see only Jesus Christ, no one else, nothing else, but only Christ will be glorified. Lord, help us and be with us, we pray. Your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8, page number from the Bible on the pew, on the chair, back of your chair is 1219, 1219, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with a sober a judgment. It's according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are the one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, in service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads and with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of God. Romans chapter 12 is an interesting chapter. Now here in our text, Paul gives his teaching not only as a teacher or a theologian. He has been a theologian to them. If you look at chapter 1 through 11, many theological stuff you can find. But here he's preaching, he's teaching, he's giving his teaching to the Roman Christians as the apostle. And, you know, Paul's unique apostolic role and his authority is a constant theme in his letters to others, especially Romans that we just look at today, and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Timothy. We'll see how he is saying his apostle. He emphasizes his apostleship because he wants to make sure that all things, his teachings and exhortations and his preachings drive from an authoritative apostolic messenger, not just his creating, but given by God. It's all teachings coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul understands that all his teachings and his apostleship is not his, but it's a gift from God. That means not something that he can get or can achieve, he can buy from somewhere, but completely a gift from God. In another way, we can say a gift of grace. So many places he says there is no boasting. That's why he got everything from God. There's no arrogance, but humbling himself. We know that Paul has a promised future. He was a leader, he was a teacher, and he was a Pharisee, and no one can compare to him. And his knowledge to the Old Testament was great, but he gave up all things because he received God's grace. He confessed that everything comes from God. That's his grace that he wants to share with us. And he himself shows a good example of humbling himself. And in our text, begin with his humbling confession that he says, "For by the grace given to me." That's verse 3. For Paul, grace means a lot and special in his life and for his life and even in his theology. Grace is a humble experience practically. Why? Based on his theology, we do not deserve anything from God, but only judgment because of our sins. But grace came, God's grace came from God through our Lord Jesus Christ while we were sinners, still sinners. And then through grace, God's grace, and we stand before God. That's amazing. And Paul says, Romans 5:2, though him we have also obtained access, we read it today, though him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we are standing because of God's grace, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's Romans 5:2. Through God's grace, you and I, we are here today. We stand before God. That's why we say, amazing grace. Now, Paul's teaching from chapter 1 to 11 is more like a theological discussion and teaching. And chapter 12, that we've been looking at, the 12, 13, 14, and 15, more like an ethical or Christian lifestyle teaching. Here, Paul's teaching in chapter 12 today goes more practical way in our text. And first of all, he says in our text, verse 3, by the grace given to me, he says, I say to everyone among you. Now, we know that the word everyone means all, everybody. And the Greek dictionary defines the word a totality with a focus on its individual components. So everyone in the church, he's sending, he's writing the letter not only to Gentiles, or Jewish Christians, or somebody there, but everyone in the church, although they might have different theological thoughts and arguments among them, Paul is calling everyone in the Roman churches and asking them to listen to his preaching. And after calling their attention, that's our background and our situation here. After calling everyone in the church, their attention, Paul says in verse 3, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Now, only this particular verse reminds us of what Paul says to the Philippian Christians in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. That's pretty much the same. Do not from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. It's very difficult to find this kind of lifestyle in the United States. And verse 4, Paul says, let each one of you look not only to this own interest, his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Paul is saying pretty much the same wording to the Roman Christians. Now we understand that Paul is here emphasizing, it is very important to have in mind that putting faith community church first, the importance of the faith community church, faith community is really, really important. He's saying to the Roman Christians, not individual, not one person first, but the faith community first. That means our church first. No selfish ambition and conceit. No count out, but count others more significant than yourselves. How about this? Not to think of himself more highly than others, but to think with sober judgment. We know, we understand Paul's teaching because we hear many, many times. However, it's true that his teaching from here, even in Philippians, like putting the faith community, church first, brothers and sisters first, that teaching itself makes us very uncomfortable. I mean, what does it mean by that? Does it mean that we should give up everything what we have for the ministry of the church or for our brothers and sisters? And then another question is, how much is everything? Our house and cars and money and everything? That's kind of misunderstanding when we think that way. The Paul's intention here is of no selfish ambition is not that he wants the Roman Christians to give up everything what they have for the church, but he wants to point out that there is a real problem among them, that is pride. In our Bible, ESV translated the Greek word as to think highly, and its original meaning in Greek is to think proudly. So Paul saw that there is something wrong with them, their hearts. They have a pride in their hearts. Paul sees that the Roman church was in a serious trouble because of pride in their hearts. Now remember, Paul talked about the strong Christians, the weak Christians in Romans chapter 14 and 13. And the strong despise the weak, and they're talking about the weak Christians. The weak criticize the strong Christians based on their different eating habits. Now, it's not only about habits and different understanding, but deep inside of their hearts because of their pride. So because of their pride, the Roman church was actually suffering. Now, most theologians agree that Paul's teaching is addressed to the divisions that are happening between Jews and Gentiles in Rome. But we know that pride that Paul is talking about is one of causes of their divisions, their fightings. By listening to Paul's message, we see that the same is true for all of us. Pride can be the source of our church division. Once pride sits in our hearts, maybe your heart and my heart, there is no clear thinking. It's blur. We become more selfish and judgmental when we look at someone else's, even the ministry of our church. Why we are doing that? And everyone disagrees with one another. And eventually a faith community, which is a church, faces a division and suffering. Now we have to remember that Paul teaches us about the importance of diversity and differences in the church. He respects all the differences. That's eventually our text in verse 4 and 5. We respect our differences and different spiritual gifts and other things and different opinions because we cannot be the same people. But yet here, once pride comes in and sitting in our hearts, that is the beginning of the spiritual division and a cancer in the church. That's what Paul is driving us to. We look at Jesus Christ in his life. Jesus emptied himself. Philippians chapter 2, and his honor and authority in everything. And authority as a Son of God. Why? Because he wants to die for us to save us from our sins. He died on the cross. So he showed something. He didn't have a pride. Therefore, pride should not stay in our hearts. That's challenging. Then what is that? What is Paul's teaching for preventing having pride in our heart and attacking those spiritual sins? And that comes to our text today. He says, to think with a sober judgment. And he says, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So many things happening in this verse. Now here from this verse 3, Paul gives two outstanding applications or rules. The first one is to think. I translate like to think soberly or to think sensibly. In Greek, actually, it means to think sensibly. That means he said here twice in Greek text. He says to think and to think sensibly. So it is important. So what does it mean by to think sensibly here? In other letters, Paul wrote in other places, he used the same word in 2 Corinthians 5 and Titus 2. In two different places, one time he used that meaning right mind, and another time meaning of self-controlled mind. So combining all these different things, right mind and self-controlled mind, that is to think sensibly. Paul uses this particular word in a relationship with one another. In the Roman Christians, he says, to think sensibly in your judgment. He knows that they were judging each other based on their differences and different understanding of the gospel, even their different spiritual gifts. As we already discussed, the pride was there. Pride was the factor of their judgment. So they might have said that, my gift is way better than yours. They might say, your gift is nothing. So Paul basically says here, brothers and sisters, based on your relationship with one another, to think clearly and sensibly without any preferences, without any pride in your heart, in your judgment. Now, Paul's teaching surely reminds us of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. We know that verse, judge not, that you are be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. That's very strong, what Jesus said. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Scary, right? But unfortunately, pride and judging others, those habits, the tendencies, it's kind of human nature. So in our relationship with our brothers and sisters in church, sometimes we have this kind of attitude. Therefore, Paul says to the Roman Christians, in your relationship with your brothers and sisters, always have to think seriously, to think sensibly. The reason is simple, Paul says, because we all received God's grace. We got the same grace. Therefore, we are not better than, we're no better than anyone else. We're same people, God's people. But the question is, from Paul's teaching is, do we really have a clear mind or sober mind in our relationship with one another? This question I throw to myself this week, it's very difficult to answer. But if we don't have that mind, if we don't put others first, thinking about them as God's people, you know, what Paul found was church will be divided. Should not happen to us. We should be united. The second thing Paul says in verse 3 is, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. That's an interesting verse here. What does it mean by the measure of faith? So many different things can be found here. Theologians say different things. But the first question is, can we really measure our faith? Can we measure our faith? I don't think so. I disagree. But in the gospel, Jesus often talks to others, you know, about the size of faith. And like Matthew 8:10, he says, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. When he saw the faith of the centurion, Jesus said, great faith. In Matthew chapter 8, again, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Now, from these two references, we see that only Jesus can say that. We cannot measure someone else's faith. And he says, Paul says here in our text, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So we understand today that Paul is not trying to measure the faith of Roman Christians, saying that you are little faith. No, you don't have little faith. You are a weak Christian. Not saying that. Why? Because faith is a gift from God. We all received from God. And then Paul clarifies that here, that God grants and or gives us many different measures of faith. So we are different. We are not able to judge someone else's faith. We should not judge others why you are acting like that. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved. Not size of your faith, but grace. Through faith, and it is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. And this week I was reading one commentary, and a theologian says, every believer is called on to estimate themselves either in accord with the objective standard of the gospel or with reference to the standard of their faith, which is Jesus Christ himself. That's one of interpretation of this verse. The measure of faith is not our activity or our doing something, but that's our faith in Christ. Jesus Christ is our standard. Based on our faith on Jesus Christ, we became God's people. So after setting all this foundation Paul talked about, we received God's grace. I received God's grace. Therefore, don't think proudly, but think sensibly in your judgment, because everyone has received different measure of faith from God, not from you. So everyone is different. In verse 4 and 6, Paul basically driving us like, therefore, we have so many reasons to be united in Christ. Paul says, verse 4 and 5, as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same functions. Verse 5, so we, though many, are body in Christ and individually members one of another. His teaching is very simple and straightforward. We are not many. We are one in Christ. But we have different functions in the church in Christ. In verses 6-8, Paul specifically mentions different spiritual gifts in the church. And all different gifts brings unity of the church for the Roman Christians. For example, he says prophesying and serving and teaching, preaching, giving, leading, and a gift of mercy. I'm not going to talk about these seven spiritual gifts today. It will take another hour. But again, in verse 6, he mentions why they have different things. He lays the foundation of all the gifts in the church. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Once again, he mentions that what you have, what we have, came from God and God's grace. Our spiritual gifts are not ours. Our spiritual gifts are not ours, but gifts from God. Everything what you have, everything what I have, is really based on God's pure grace. Not based on our moral value and abilities. Only pure God's grace, which is Jesus Christ. God gives many different gifts to you and me to strengthen the church. There is reason for that. Roman churches, Christians, they are fighting against each other because they have so many different gifts, saying that this is better, your gift is nothing. But Paul is saying that no. God gives you the many different gifts, not because of your attitude or your gift or your ability, not based on your thing, but it's to strengthen, to build the church, God's people. So basically, Paul says, therefore, respect, honor others. Through God's grace, Paul has called as the apostle. That's starting our text today. And even he used all his gifts and his honor and his experience, his knowledge, and all other resources simply for Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is asking and is saying the same thing to the Roman Christians. God has called you with many different spiritual gifts. Now, it's interesting to read the ESV. Then what? ESV put interesting words here. Let us use them. I was mind-boggling with these words. Let us use them. I look at the Greek text. I don't see let us use them. I don't know why ESV put it in, but this is really other Bibles, I don't see them. But ESV, our text, said, let us use them. One thing that we know why Paul is bringing up all different spiritual gifts is all these gifts used for God's kingdom. Using your gifts, different spiritual gifts, for building up the church. Based on their gifts, they're fighting. No fight. But there is unity in Christ. That's Paul's point. But my question today is, what is your spiritual gift? We know that Paul mentions only 7 spiritual gifts today, but it doesn't mean that there are only 7 spiritual gifts. There are more than that. Paul gives some examples to us. Why? To encourage you and me. To encourage the Roman Christians to use their gifts, spiritual gifts, for the kingdom of God. We are different. We have different gifts. Someone is able to teach. Someone is able to lead group. Someone is giving more than we are giving. Someone is serving the church. Through our vacation Bible school, we see many people out there inside the kitchen, out there in the classroom. They are doing different things, but they're using their gifts. What is your gift? My sermon title is 1 plus 1 today. 1 plus 1 is 1. Mathematically, 1 plus 1 is 2. However, it doesn't apply to our spiritual algebra. 1 plus 1 is always 1 in Christ. Although we are different, although we cannot be the same people, same person, it doesn't mean that we don't need to be one. As we have many different parts of the body, we need one another. And someone has to bring the Word of God to God's people. And while someone teaches, leading, and someone has to lead God's people, while someone serves them, someone has to share God's mercy with their material blessings, while someone wisely shows God's mercy to his people. What is your gift? And remember what Paul says today. We don't have any reason to judge others. We don't put ourselves over somebody else. But we respect, we love others as Christ loved us. By practicing this teaching, we will be experiencing oneness in Christ because we have the same grace, which is Jesus Christ. 1 + 1 is not 2, but is 1 because of God's grace. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, thank you for, once again, Paul's teaching from the Romans chapter 12 today. Lord, would you please bless us, bless our church, and help us to use our different gifts, not putting ourselves, but putting someone else and our brothers and sisters and respect their gifts. And so we will be experiencing true oneness in Christ. New Christian from church will be blessed by this teaching. Lord, help us. We pray all these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ.